You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
For the text and the topic. While you're clapping, let's give God praise for our bishop, First Lady Walker, First Lady Baker. Come on, let's raise that praise. The primary author of Proverbs, young people, is Solomon. He's not the only author of the book of Proverbs, but he's the primary. Solomon, according to the Bible, was the wealthiest and wisest king to ever walk the earth. The scripture goes so far to teach that there will not be another king like him. He was the wealthiest and the wisest. And we can see this in 1 Kings 10 and 23. Solomon was primarily known for his abundance of wisdom. And Solomon expressed his wisdom throughout his lifetime here on earth by writing short statements that we call Proverbs. He wrote over 3,000 Proverbs, as well as 1,005 songs. A proverb, again, is just a short, easy to read statement, but Solomon's Proverbs, young people, contained truth. Truth. And that's what we need. We need, help me, truth. Yeah. And so he just didn't write short statements about life, man, God, nature, money, and so forth. He was doing it to reveal truth. And truth, young people, has a number of values that you need to be familiar with. But there are two in particular that I want to deal with as I build the foundation for today's message. Truth has this morning two values. The first one, as you turn to Psalm 86 and 11, we'll notice the first value of truth. You with me so far? All right. David said in Psalm 86 and 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and notice, I will walk in your truth. Truth is so valuable, young people, that once you and I are taught the truth, we should be compelled to walk in it. That's how valuable truth is. You shouldn't just come to church, and the Bible says that the church is the pillar of truth. When you come to God's house and the sent preacher is teaching you the Lord's way, which is truth, it should change your life. You shouldn't just be a hearer of truth. You just shouldn't amen the truth. You shouldn't just type notes or write notes or take pictures of it with your phone. But when truth comes forth, it should be like a mirror, and you should be able to look at your life and see where you need to make some changes for the better. And then make the necessary adjustments and walk it out. Look at somebody and say, you and I, we got to walk in truth. Yeah. You got to hear the word and then put it into action. And truth is so powerful, young folk, that it will change your life. And how can truth change a young person's life? Because the truth is Jesus. Jesus said in John 14 and 6 clearly that I am the way and I am the truth. So if I put truth into action, it's saying that Jesus is changing my life. And some of us got the testimony that truth can change your life. Yeah, you don't cuss no more. Some of us, your testimony is, look, you don't cuss as much as you used to. Truth is still working on you. How many know truth will work on you? Yeah, some of us don't hoe no more. I know that's my testimony. When truth came into my life, I quit being a hoe. Oh, look how y'all looking at me now. Oh, I said, look at how y'all looking at me now. But if I gave you the mic, you could testify that truth changed your life. Am I right about it? And some of us need to grab a hold of the truth because you still living in sin. But truth can change your life. It doesn't matter your lifestyle. It doesn't matter how much you smoke, snort, hoe, or what have you. If you take heed to the word or truth, it can clean you up. That's what David said. How can a young man cleanse his life? How can a young man change his life? By taking heed to the word or the truth. All you got to do is take heed. All you got to do is make up in your mind is I'm not going to leave here the same way that I came. I'm going to change my life for the better. And get this, you don't have to wait on your friend to change. You need to make that change for yourself. Because truth, David said, can convert the soul or change your life. And that's why we come to church. I'm trying to change my life every week for the better. Yeah, I'm not perfect and you can find some flaws. But look at somebody, if this be truth, say, truth still working on me. And it's working as long as we abide in truth or walk in it. As long as you keep walking in truth, it's constantly sanctifying you. It's changing your life for the better. Yeah, you should feel convicted when you mess up or sin, but don't let that stop you and you start practicing sin. A righteous person falls, but they get right back up again. Keep walking in truth. The second value of truth is found in John 8:32. John 8:32. And it reads, and you shall... That was y'all place to fill in the blank. Let me try that again. I said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall not set you free, but make you free. Truth makes us free. That's the second value of truth. That's why you should value truth. It's what's going to make us free. Truth delivers us. Truth protects us, and truth prospers us. There is salvation in truth. But understand, young people, we're living in the day and time the Bible teaches that young people and grown folk would rather believe a lie instead of the truth. I'm wondering, do I have anybody in here that believes the truth instead of a lie? I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to be like the crowd or sinners. I am more ready to believe the truth. Even if I'm not practicing it all the way, I still believe it. Anybody in here still believe the truth? And look at the value of it. It makes us what? Free. And so with that in mind, understand a proverb reveals what? Truth. A proverb reveals what? Truth. And so the proverb that we're going to look at today, we should walk in it. And if we walk in it, it's going to make us what? It's going to make us free. I know I'm putting this together right. When you consider our verse in Proverbs 30 and 28, today's proverb reveals divine truth about a spider. A spider. Something all of us have seen at one time or another. Spiders, even though they are not my favorite, since I have been studying for the past several weeks, I have learned that spiders are very fascinating. Very fascinating. So much so that I saw one, and after my study, I didn't even stomp it. I said, go ahead, young spider. Just keep on living. Yeah. I have a better understanding of why God created the spider. And so did Solomon, so much so that he wrote a proverb that contained wisdom about a spider that young people in our day and time need to grab a hold of. Now, man calls spiders arachnoids or arachnids. They're not insects. Arachnids. And man calls them that because they have eight legs. And at the end of each leg, a spider has claws. Very small claws, or what Solomon here in the verse calls hands. At the end of each leg, that's where their hands are. Now, those spiders are creepy to many, including myself. Spiders are beneficial because they eat pests. Yeah, such as roaches, moths, mosquitoes, fleas, flies, and other insects. That is one of the primary purposes that God created spiders. And we're going to learn another, but the primary purpose God created spiders is to help control certain pests. They eat them. That's their diet. You see a roach, Lord, where the spider at? Fleas, flies, mosquitoes, those are on the menu of the spider. Now, before I deal with the hands like Solomon did, there's something else noteworthy about the spider that we need to deal with and we need to learn. And notice how fascinating this is. Spiders have 6 to 8 eyes. Most spiders have 8. And you would think with that many eyeballs, you got good eyesight. But spiders do not rely on their 6 to 8 eyes to move around. No. They have another source that provides guidance. They rely on the unseen, or what we call vibrations. That's how they get around. They don't use their eyes to navigate throughout your house or in the natural world. No, spiders primarily get their guidance from the unseen. They feel vibrations around them, and then they make the necessary moves. Can I bring it on to the saints? How many know, likewise, as spirit-led Christians, we should not rely on our eyesight, but we should rely also on faith or the unseen? I thought y'all would get excited about that, because everything God created, there are some types of parallels. And so, like the spider, we shouldn't rely on our eyesight. The Bible is plain, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I need my eyes, but this is not how I'm supposed to live my life, based on what I see or based on my natural senses. I'm supposed to rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. See, the true sons of God, real young folks that save and got the Holy Spirit, they're going to acknowledge the Lord in all of their ways. They're going to trust in him with all of their heart. And then guess what? He's going to direct their paths. Just like the spider, we shouldn't rely on our eyesight, but we should rely on the Spirit. I just thought that was so noteworthy. But I want you to write Psalm 10 and 5, because though you're young, you have to discipline yourself, young people, to walk by faith. God will take you through things as you grow. You need to develop your faith or get used to walking by the unseen, or walking by more so from what you hear instead of what you see. Why would I say that? Because faith comes by hearing. See, seeing ain't believing. No, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. Not seeing, but by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So you have to discipline yourself not to live based upon how you feel or what you see. You have to discipline yourself to do it God's way. Faith is God's way, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if I do it God's way, I want you to understand Psalm 10 and 5. If you do it God's way, you're going to prosper. That's what David said partly in Psalm 10 and 5. The ways, or his ways, are prosper. If I just learn to walk by faith, I'm going to prosper. God is going to bless me. God is going to do for me. Are y'all understanding? But what I want to deal with is what Solomon dealt with. How skillful the spider is with its hands. And see, when we learn about this spider, we need to have the same type mentality. Yeah. If I'm going to have the mind of Christ, I need to pull the truth out this verse and apply it to my life. Even though Solomon is talking about a spider, is something in that spider that I can apply to my life. A spider is skillful with its hands. A spider is proficient, has elite abilities. When it comes to the spider using its hands, that's what distinguishes it from other creatures. Solomon recognized, man, this spider works in excellence when it comes to using its hands. This is a message that many youth and young adults in our day and time need to hear, because so many of the young people in our day and time, they don't like to use their hands. They don't want to work. I have not remembered such a time as this in my life where I have seen so many young folk that's tired but don't even use their hands to work. What's going on? I'm tired. For real, what you been doing? Nothing. You idle. What you mean you ain't doing nothing? You tired. You stressed. You depressed. You got to get a skill set. You got to become proficient at something that's going to cause you to be productive. And it's up to you, young people, to discover what God has put in you. And once you discover that skill set, you got to become skillful or proficient. It's up to you. You're not just here to be here. God created you with purpose. You got to figure out what is it that he put in you, and you got to master that thing. I said you got to master that thing. Now, look at this. In all of us, we got good skills, and we got bad skills. We got righteous skills and we got evil skills. You got to determine which one you're going to be skillful at. What am I saying? When God created Lucifer, young folk, he was skillful at music, and he was also skillful at deceiving folk. But instead of him choosing to put all of his efforts into using music to give God glory, He chose to become more skillful at deceiving angels and people. Do you know how skillful Lucifer is or has to be in order to deceive the whole world? That's what the Bible says about the devil. He deceives the whole world. Do you know how efficient you have to be to do that? But at the same time, he had the ability to produce music in heaven, and he's still doing it. But he's not doing it to give God the glory. What is that saying to us? You have to choose what's in you. Are you going to do it to God's glory, or are you going to let the enemy use what's on the inside of you? Yeah, you can be a good salesman, but you can choose to sell that which is illegal or that which is legal. You can be a great dancer and be skilled at moving them hips, but you can take it to the club and get on the pole and make a few pieces of change for doing something strange. Y'all already know what I'm talking about. Or you can give God the glory with what he put in you. Yeah. So you got to choose. What do I have in me? What has God put in me? Am I going to use it for righteousness or ratchetness? What am I going to do? Here's a list of some skillful folk in Scripture that I'm not going to take time to deal with, but it is noteworthy, and you can look them up on your own time. David was skillful at playing the harp as well as using a slingshot. There was a man named Hermon who was skillful at craftsmanship, so much so that kings talked about him. And he was referred to help Solomon build the temple. Esau was skillful at hunting. And the Hebrew boys, look at this, they were skillful in all literature. They had book sense. They were just able to acquire knowledge and apply it properly. So whatever your skill set is, you got to discover it, and then you got to work it. It's no excuse. And I pray you don't wait till you're in your late 20s and 30s to do this. God is giving you this truth now. So now faith is, you need to start right now. It's in you, whether it's to do hair, whether it's to draw, whether it's to talk, whether it's to do math, cut grass, make clothes, play an instrument. You got to find out what that skill is. Even in Matthew 25, the Bible talks about young people, how the kingdom of heaven is like this. A rich man will give his servants each a talent and then go away to a far country. And then at an unknown moment, he's going to come back to see what each servant did with the talent that he gave him. That's just like God. He puts it in us, but we got to be productive with it. Some of you got one, some of you got more than one. But whatever you got, you better use it. I said, you better use it. What skill sets you apart from other young people? What is it? What makes you unique? What makes you different? Or are you wasting your time trying to be like everybody else? You don't want to get 28, 29, 30 and realize I done wasted 15 years of my life trying to impress folk that don't like me anyway. You've got to learn what makes you unique and distinguish yourself from other folk. Don't waste your time smoking, gambling, getting high, doing that dumb stuff. Work what God put on the inside of you. And so for the rest of the message, we're going to look at this verse and pull out what Solomon reveals. And I want to give you four spider mentality lessons. I'm going to give you 4 points, bottom line. But I had to make it right. I'm going to give you some mentality lessons that we can learn from the spider. They're not going to teach you this in school. Y'all ready for it? Mentality, lesson number one. And when I say mentality, I'm talking about our mindset, how we think, talk, act, choices, and so forth, right? Number one, spiders use what's inside of them to produce something incredible. Now, when Solomon was talking about the spider uses its hands, he was primarily talking about how the spider builds webs. But the spider builds the web based upon what's on the inside of them. Spiders use internal, somebody shout internal, glands to produce the silk to build amazing and astounding webs. See, the spider ain't like the wasp. Y'all ever seen a wasp nest? A wasp nest does not come from internal resources. A wasp goes and finds some wood, some paper, chews it up, breaks it down, and then comes and spits it out and molds it into a wasp nest. But the spider, all of that protein on the inside of them, somebody shout inside, it comes out of them, and then with their hands, they create the cobweb. Which goes back to my point earlier. God has placed some skills in you, but you got to tap into it, and you got to construct something. You got to make something. You know how we say make something of yourself? See, that goes back to what God has innately put inside of you. And you don't need schooling to work what's on the inside of you. Now, you can go to school to get licensed to do certain things, but when you have God-given skill, look at somebody and say, you ain't got to be taught. Yeah, you can be taught how to become better and so forth, but there are just certain things in you that if you work it and put it into action, you'll create something amazing. I always knew that I could speak before folk. I was never afraid to get up before folk, but I didn't know God would use me as a teenager in ministry. I did not know that I would be the unofficial, official MC of funerals and homegoing services at a place of refuge. But that's just a part of what God put in me. But I had to learn. I had to master. I had to practice my public speaking. And it took some time. Even when it comes to me speaking to y'all week in and week out for over 25 years, I ain't always been on this level. I had to master how to speak, how to convince people, how to win people with my words. It took practice, but it was already in me. I'll never forget. Are y'all still with me? Here recently, I emceed a homegoing service and got to the part to where Bishop came to do the message. And so the particular man that we were burying that day, his skill set was driving big rig trucks, 18-wheeler trucks. And so Bishop was talking about how skillful this man was. And I'm just like to myself, okay, let's hear it, because I ain't heard nobody be that skillful. And so he began to talk about how this man was so skillful. He had never seen anything like this. This man could drive an 18-wheeler truck so well that there was one instance to where somebody called him who didn't know how to drive a truck. And he talked them through over the phone how to back up an 18-wheeler truck without even being there. He talked them through how to drive a truck, an 18-wheeler, and he wasn't even there. Backing it up. Have y'all ever seen folk try to back up an 18-wheeler? And they got somebody in the mirror and said, go that way. move that way. But he was on the phone talking them through it. And then messed around and said, and the man had no formal education. Didn't go to school to learn how to drive trucks. It was just in him. And I'm sitting there while he preaching all in my mind. Like, how in the world he do this? Which helped me to understand there are just some innate God-given abilities that God puts in you. God puts in you. And you got it in you. Tell somebody it's in you. I'm finna prove it to you. Y'all go to Exodus 31. I'm gonna prove it. I took all that time to prove this point. Exodus 31. See, you gotta get off that game system and figure out what God put in you. You gotta get off TikTok and figure out what God put in you. You gotta quit admiring all these other athletes and find out what God put in you. Exodus 31, we're going to read 1 through 5. Y'all stay with me. Now, when I pause, y'all pick it up. Y'all with me? When I drop it, what y'all going to do? Then the Lord spoke to who? Saying, see, I have called by name. Pick it up. Well, that sound good enough. The son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. So God done spoke to the pastor about God's people. About a particular man who was from the tribe of Judah. Verse 3. And I have filled him. What did he say? I have what? With the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge. And here it is. And in all manner of workmanship. He filled him. With the Spirit of God, wisdom, knowledge, and workmanship. What does this mean? Verse 4. The workmanship is to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze. Sound like a jewelry maker, don't he? In cutting jewels, for setting them, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. He put that in him, the ability to design and work with gold, wood, to carve it. Sound like Jacob the jeweler or somebody like that. Yeah, but this is what I want you to see. God put it in this man. He put the Holy Spirit in him and a skill set. I said he put the Holy Spirit in him and a skill set. We get happy, and we should, about having the Holy Spirit because he's going to guide us in all truth. But God also put in you a skill set. He done put it in you, whether it's to draw or what have you. You got to tap into it. Now, if I got to choose between somebody who got one or the other, I'm going to take the Holy Spirit because you can train folk, right? But I love the verses because the boy from the tribe of Judah had the combo. He had two for two. He had both. He had the Holy Spirit and workmanship. You got the Holy Spirit and the ability to play an instrument. You got the Holy Spirit and the ability to do hair. You got the Holy Spirit and the ability to just do certain things, you got to tap into that. You got to work it. Look at somebody say, you got to work it. That's got to be your mentality. You got to wake up every day saying, man, I got to work what God put on the inside of me. I got to get better at what God put on the inside of me. I remember when I came into being a minister, and one lesson that we were taught is that ministers should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Y'all listening? But I never forget how Bishop taught us that we should also be professional. He said, look, you need to have the Holy Spirit, but you need to know how to conduct yourself. And so one of the points that he was trying to teach the ministers, he said, look, it ain't professional when you get up to lead folk in prayer and you constantly, Lord God, Father God, oh God, oh God. You got to cut that out. You got to discipline yourself that when you pray, you ain't always Lord God. Could you imagine when I talked to Teresa? Hey, Teresa, your dress, Teresa. Oh, Teresa, Sister Teresa, you're going to the store, Teresa. We don't talk like that. But I had to discipline myself. Okay, how many times am I saying Lord God? And I had somebody count one time. Count my Lord Gods. Count my Lord Gods. I said, wow, that's a lot of Lord Gods. Father Gods. We all know who I'm talking to. I need to cut that out. And so I became conscious of that. And I said, you know, I got to work this. Now, God has given me the opportunity to lead his people in prayer. I need to tighten up. Because loud and fast don't mean anointed. Loud and fast don't mean professional. People need to be able to understand us when we pray, receive an offering, teach a message, lead a song. People need to be able to I could come in here and I could go like that. I could do all that. But most of y'all be sitting there looking at me like, what in the world? And there's a time for that. Sometimes you just feel it. Right? But I got to make sure you get knowledge and understanding. That's why I had a problem with mumble rap. I was like, I don't know what they saying. What are you saying? I have to Google the lyrics to see what you're talking about. And you should have a problem with that. You should be like, it sounds good, but what are you talking about? Is he talking about raping this girl? Is this what I'm dancing to? Is he talking about getting high on Percocet? Is this what I like? Somebody in here don't like it, but I know I'm telling the truth. You got to work what God put in you. You got to work it, young people. Whether you book smart or what have you, work what God put in you. Number two, spiders build their webs in stages. When they build their webs, they have an innate ability to do it in stages. Based upon my research, most spiders build their webs in 3 to 4 stages. Yes. Some it could be more and some it could be less based upon the size of the spider. They don't try to do it all at one time. They build certain parts of the web first, then they go to another part and build that. Then they go to another part and they build that. They build their web in stages. What should we take from that? You need to build your life, young people, in stages. Don't try no get rich quick scheme. Don't try to do it all in one weekend. No, build your life in stages. God does all things in seasons. Don't try to be married and you 15. You don't even know how to take care of yourself. What are you talking about getting in a sexual relationship? That's just one part of marriage. Sex is just one part. Learn who you are first. Learn how to make your own money first. Learn how to save money first. Learn how to own something of your own first until you come into a covenant relationship with somebody else, because then you got to take on their baggage. Yeah. When my wife decided to marry me, she took on some of my baggage. You know what came in one of my suitcases? Bad credit. Yeah, but she loved me so much. She was willing to take it on. Yeah. Yeah, that's what happened. The two become, yeah, you pull up her credit report, there go mine. She be like, yeah, dog ain't do all that. Yeah, but we won now. We file our taxes together. They got your social, they got my social. And so when you come together with folk, you're taking on they baggage. But I love the spider. They construct their world in stages. Now get this. Oh, Lord. Spiders make precise and purposeful movements when building their web. Look at this. So they don't get trapped in their own web. So while they're building their web, they're moving strategically. They're just not stepping somewhere just to step. They're just not putting a web here just to put it here. No, they got purpose in how they build. And see, that's how you got to be. You need to first build your life on the rock. Yeah, you need to be just like Jesus taught. You need to build your life on the word, because let me tell you what's going to come in life. You're going to have storms and you're going to have wind. And if your life is not built on the rock of the word, you're going to fall. If you build your life around getting high, you're going to fall. If you build your life on being a player, you're going to fall. If you build your life on being rebellious, you're going to fall. If you build your life on your own terms, you're going to. There is a way, the Bible says, that seems right to man. But the end is destruction. I have seen great athletes come through the MSW over my 26 years, and I have seen some, they put all of their trust in their athletic abilities. They didn't come to services. They didn't come to revivals. They would come to church every now and then. And for a while, they were doing good in their basketball, in their sport, in their football. But then, because that's what they built their life on, after they got hurt, they had to find another way. But what would happen if you build your life on the way? What would happen if you told your coach, look, y'all got practice and games on Sundays now. I'll be here after I get to church. Yeah, I'll be here after church, because I'm not going to build my life around this. Because really, coach, if we tell the truth, you really don't care that much about me. Because once I graduate, that's the end of our relationship. I ain't heard not from one of my son's coaches since he put in all them hours from them or for them. So you have to build your life. Am I telling you not to be a part of athletics? No. No, use what God put in you, but keep him first. I said keep him first. Don't build your life around no girlfriend or boyfriend. No. Look at somebody say no. Yeah. Don't do that. Build your life on the rock and then make strategic moves. Because the main one who can mess your life up is not the devil. It's you. It's your choices. It's my choices. That's how we mess ourselves slap up. But remember that spider. He's building his life, but he's watching how we step. Don't want to mess up over here and don't want to mess up over there. Woo, look at somebody say, you can learn something from a spider. The Bible says it like this. Write this down. Psalm 37, 23. The steps of a good man. Notice they are ordered or planned by the Lord. That's how you want God to do. As you're building your life, let God direct you. And where he tells you to step, you step. And where he tells you to stay out of, guess what you do? Stay out of. And curiosity and temptation gonna come your way. But you gotta remember that spider. If I step wrong, I'm gonna build this web wrong and it ain't gonna work properly. If you don't build your life right, when you get in your 20s, you gonna see the error of your choices as a teenager. You'll have that dumb testimony. Man, I wish I would have. But you just build. You build. And let God order your steps. And that's what God is doing to some of us. You're in stages. And every stage ain't forever. And you're going to get on some stages in life that you don't like. Yeah, there's one stage called the waiting stage. Yeah, you'll get in the waiting stage sometime. And it seemed like, God, what are you doing? But let him make you. Let him mold you. Let him develop you. Yeah. You'll go through the sacrifice stage. You'll seem like you're doing stuff for everybody else except for yourself, but learn how to sacrifice. Learn how to lay down your life, because if you hold on and don't get weary in well-doing, you're going to reap a harvest if you faint not. Yeah. Then you'll go through the little obedience stage. You got to do stuff that your parents and others want you to do that you really don't want to do. You know you're grown, you feel grown, and you want to give them a piece of your grown mind, but you got to learn how to be obedient. You got to learn how to follow some rules that you don't agree with. You got to learn how to be back home on certain curfews that you don't agree with. Yeah, just go through the little rule stage. All my young couples, you're going to have stages. Yeah, you're going to have stages. You're going to have the honeymoon stage. Yes, Lord, you're going to have the honeymoon stage. But at the honeymoon stage, you got to learn how to pay these bills stages. Yeah, baby girl got to go through the cooking stage, baby. We can't live off love. We can't live off spaghetti and hamburger helper. No, you got to get in there and work it. Better learn how to bake some chicken, fry some bologna, do something. Because you cute, but I can't live off your cuteness. Marriages have stages. As a student, young people, you're going to go through stages. You're going to have your eye on graduation, but you're going to go through a stage. I'm tired of school. I'm tired of going to 5:30 to 7:30. I'm tired of doing all these notes. I'm tired of writing these papers. I'm tired. But you got to keep your mind, keep your focus on graduation. You done paid all that money. You done put in all that work. You might as well go ahead and accomplish what you've started. So life, young people, is about stages. Don't mess yourself up. Lesson number 3. Are y'all still learning? The spider's web benefits itself, the spider, and the spider's web benefits others. This is what's amazing. The web benefits the spider, because that's where he catches food. But the web also benefits others. A spider's web is often 20 times the size of the spider. What do we learn from this? Remember, they build the web from what's on the inside of them. Often what God put in you, young people, is bigger than you. It's bigger than you. You being on the praise team is bigger than you. We need what God put in you. It's bigger than you. I don't want to lead that song. I don't want it, but it's bigger than you. Get up there and do and use what God put in you. Some of you, God gave the ability to serve. I mean, you're a good helper. But sometimes you just don't like folk. You just don't like folk. You won't come to church, get the word, and go sit in the car. But why are you not using what God put in you to help the MSW go to new levels? You could be helping our social media ministry. I mean, we need some help. You got to use what's in you. It's bigger than you. I said it's bigger than you. You playing that instrument and you not wanting to do it. God didn't just give you the ability to do that, just to do it. It's bigger than you. Notice my notes. What's in you helps you and others. Now, I did not know this, but this is so fascinating. A spider eats their own web daily to gain strength for personal functionality. I thought the web was just used to catch other insects, but the spider be eating its own protein. It helps give them strength. You know, if you use what God put in you, you're going to be the first partaker of the blessing. Use what's in you, because it's going to help other folk, but it's also going to help you. You'll find joy in helping other folk. I'm the first partaker of what I preach to y'all. Yeah, what I'm telling you, you should first see it happening in my life. I should be eating the fruit of it, of what I'm teaching you. And you should be able to look at my life and say, yeah, it works, because I can see it in his life. I'm the first partaker. But see, when you hide what God has put on the inside of you, you're missing out on your own blessing. God can bless you, and one way he does it is by you using what's on the inside of you. Whatever that skill set is, to his glory. The spider's web benefits the ecosystem, and in closing, it also benefits humans as well. Stay with me. In some European medicines, cobwebs, spider webs, are used on wounds and cuts to reduce bleeding and aid in healing. Spider's webs are rich in vitamin K, which is essential in blood clotting. I did not know that. But again, all of that came from inside of the spider. Because of its strength and its resilience, speaking of the web, the development of technologies to mass produce spider silk has led to the manufacturing, notice, of military grade bulletproof vests, parachutes, and medical devices such as artificial tendons. That's how elastic the spider web is. Well, man said, man, we got to make some products that come from the silk of a spider web. You ever seen a cobweb on your car hanging on the antenna or on the side view mirror and you going 70 miles an hour, but that spider web still there and the spider be in the middle like, I ain't going nowhere. That's how strong and resilient that web is. But where did it come from? From inside the spider. What's in you is going to help you and somebody else. And finally, my fourth mentality lesson is what Solomon talked about. It's because the spider is skillfully grasping with its hands, he noticed that the spider was living even in king's palaces. The spider is in high places because of its level of productivity. It's one thing to have a skill set, young people, but you must also have the right mindset to stand before kings. Yeah, you can have a skill set, but you got to have the ability and the right mindset to come before great folk. And we see this with the Hebrew boys. God gave them skill in all wisdom and literature. But the Bible says the king was looking for young people that had the ability to stand before him. So he just wasn't looking for folk that had a skill set, but he was also looking for folk that had character and a certain mindset. And here we see the spider in the king's palace in a high place because of its skill in using its hands. But might I add, you also got to have the right mindset. Why do we see so many young people that get millions of dollars but still end up in jail for selling drugs? Dummy, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing out committing robberies and you make $100 million? Running with folk in the street and you make $50 million a year. They got the skill set but don't have the right mindset. And see, that's what God is trying to do with the trendsetters. You develop that skill set, but you walk in truth so you can have the character to stand before great folk. Because the Bible says it like this in Proverbs 18 and 16. A man's gift makes room before him and brings him before great men. Great men. Your skill set can take you someplace, young people, can cause you to possess things and help people. But in order to get to certain levels, it's not enough. You got to have the right mindset. You got to have the mindset to worship God, the mindset to bring God his tithe and his offering, the mindset to treat folk the way the Bible says they need to be treated. But if we got that combo package, God is going to get glory in our life and exalt us. How many can see from this teaching we need to have a spider mentality? By a show of hands. I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand.